welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab your gear and hit the road as we try and catch up with the e-bike revolution, tracking the entrepreneurs that are driving this whole movement and the love stories that are riding along. And today, well, we've got one of those with us here. We've got Margaret and Kevin O'Shea from Atlanta. Welcome, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Okay. Did you ever think you're going to be on a podcast talking about e-bikes? Come on, tell the truth.
No, never.
Well, the story that I was told, let's see if it matches, because you're Irish and I'm Irish. We can exaggerate a little bit, so I'm told. I want to make sure this is the real deal here. The story I got is that you've been, even though you're native New Yorkers, I can certainly tell by the accent, you've been living in Atlanta for, what, 30 years, long time here? Mm-hmm. And during that time, you were a software engineer. I never quite know what that is, but it sounds impressive. And you're working on all this stuff. And now you're retired. And your wife, did your wife work? Did she have a career? Were you a stay-at-home mom? What?
I was an editorial assistant with a large publishing company in New York. And then I became a stay-at-home mom, which was a wonderful job.
There you go. From one to the other here. All right. So, you know, typical stories we'd hear everywhere here. And you were talking about through life. And I don't know why everybody's going to look at me when I say this, but we struggle with weight and we struggle with exercise. And I don't know why I can't stay motivated to do this stuff here. I've joined a million gyms. I've paid $1 million and I've probably been five times. I just can't stick with it. I love walking, so I try and do that. And through the years, as everybody knows in this show, I've had bikes. Boy, I tried riding bikes. I pushed myself to ride bikes. And somewhere along the way, the bike got put up on a rack. And that was the end of that until something else came along, a rowing machine or a stationary bike. I've been through all this stuff here. Is that the journey you guys have been on too here?
Yeah, we went through the same thing. We used to have regular bikes and never took them out.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is. We have the desire. We have the motivation sometimes that there's something different. And we're going to talk about that. The difference for you guys was getting an electric bike, specifically a Pedego electric bike. Talk about that epiphany. You live near the store. We've had Kat on the show before. The dealer down there is named Kat. So you bought a bike from a cat.
Yeah. Yes. And we're not going to tell our dog that because he doesn't like it. We love that. We ended up moving from the suburbs into the city of Atlanta to be near our two grown sons.
Okay. Because they got to be in the city now. My daughter's got to be in the city where they can walk to the Starbucks or hang out at the park. And so they can't live out in suburbia like I raised her. Yeah. Right.
And well, we agree with your daughter and our sons now because this is a wonderful lifestyle.
There you go.
One day we just noticed there was a sign up saying e-bike store coming. And we thought, maybe we should check it out. Well, that was the best decision we ever made because Pedego Atlanta, it's located on our Atlanta Beltline, and we could talk about that later.
We will, because there's places to ride with these things now in some of these metropolitan cities that you're not just trying to go around your neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah, so that's how we really, electric bikes were never even on our radar. And we just thought, let's go try it out. And they, of course, in the store were wonderful. We did a little test drive around the parking lot.
What was that like? Because you hadn't been on a bike in a while, I'll bet.
That was really difficult for me because I don't think I had been on a bike in 20 years.
There you go. Yeah.
It was a little scary at first, especially with the power assist, but I got through pretty quick.
Now, who's driving this? Is this Marcus saying, come on, come on? Or is this James going, yeah, I'll go along? Or really? Another crazy thing we're going to do here?
No,
they're looking at each other, so they're trying to figure out the answer for this one here.
Margaret was driving.
Yeah. And then we went in there and we spoke with them, and that store is amazing because they treat you like family. They don't push you. They gave us all the information we needed, and they said, go to the local coffee shop, which was across the street, talk about it. And, you know, it was a little bit of an investment.
Yeah, they're not cheap, not $100 and what the heck or something here. Yeah.
What we didn't realize is we get excellent bicycles. We get the support of Kat and the people in her store. And like I said earlier, they treat us like family. It's a local store. If we have any problems, we just go over there with our bikes. It has been probably one of the best investments we've ever made.
They have an excellent mechanic there too, Robert.
Well, yeah, I think I've forgotten the exact story, but doesn't she work, not she per se, but I think there's another bike work or something where they teach kids to be mechanics, All right, so I'm still struggling to understand this. Was this just one of many things? Oh, we'll try it and it'll seem fun. We'll get a rowing machine. We'll go for more walks. And something about this took hold. What was it about riding an electric bike? Is it the neighborhood?
I think it was a neighborhood. We're right by Grant Park, which is the second biggest park in Atlanta. So we could ride. But we also like to go to coffee shops and restaurants and go out for lunch.
Yeah.
And being right by the Beltline, we never really had to get on a road. We just stay on the Beltline and we can, you know, park our bikes at these restaurants and go in and have lunch and then come home.
So what is this Beltline? I know we talked about it before. Some of these are old railroad tracks that they've converted into trails, or was this just a trail that they carved out somewhere? How did they build a Beltline and what is it?
It actually is, it's a multi-use trail that was a former railroad corridor.
Okay.
And basically it encircles the core of Atlanta. Where we are here, it's the Beltline, which runs along the side of the street, but you're protected by barriers. Mm-hmm. And then you end up going a little farther and you end up on the Beltline. The Beltline is amazing because, like I said earlier, it encircles the core of Atlanta, but along the way, there are restaurants and coffee shops, as Kevin said, but there's also, there's sculptures and there's art and there's murals.
Oh, something to see, something to stop and see along the way. It's really designed to get people out walking and riding off the roads.
Yeah, yes. And there's people out there with scooters and roller skates.
Oh, sure, skateboards, everything, I bet.
The whole idea of the Beltline is, as you just said, Paul, was to connect communities together. And that's exactly what it does, because we meet a lot of people riding along the Beltline.
So how do you meet people riding along the Beltline? Because one of the things I got to say is when I was in my 40s, been a few years since I was there, and I was pushing myself on a bike pretty regularly, I did it alone. I did it in early morning or late at night. It was an exercise, and I like getting out, but I wasn't doing it with anybody. I certainly wasn't stopping and talking to anybody. How is this different?
And a lot of it has to do with our pedagogues, because they're so, I have a bright green color.
Okay.
And people are always like, oh, is that an electric bike? So of course we have to stop and give them the scoop.
Of course.
Over to the Pedago Atlanta store. And then when we stop for a coffee or a snack, you know, we park them right there. So they're always conversation starters. So there's
always other bikers there, which a lot of times they don't have an electric bike. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've been thinking about it. And they'll ask us a lot of questions about it. Yeah.
Maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. We had an amazing tale on recently of a young man, like in his 30s. And he has autism, pretty strong case of autism. I know it's a sliding scale, so it depends on where you land on the scale here. And he supports himself and works. He gave up his car to go on an electric bike. Why? Because he's suddenly at a more human pace. There was less noise and sounds and speed. You know, autism, I guess, as I understand it, you have trouble processing all the world around you. Too much stuff coming at you too fast. Lights, sounds, everything else. And it got me thinking. And we had a guy on, the mayor of Santee, California, by San Diego. He rides around town and he says, because I used to ride around in a car, I'd ride past all the businesses. Now I'm stopping. It's a different pace of seeing the world. Is that part of this?
That's true. And part of the Pedago is the community that you have. We're on a Pedago Facebook page.
There you go.
And a lot of people here in Atlanta, they do drive to work. They've given up their cars. And what's great about this site is they'll put on our Pedago site, hey, what's the best way to get here and there, you know, for work? It really has helped people deal with the traffic, because the traffic is pretty bad in Atlanta.
Oh, last time I was there, it's like L.A. I mean, it's just you got all these giant freeways and they sit as parking lots half the time.
So, yes, it definitely has helped. I know people use them for commuting, so it's helping our environment. It's helping us stay healthy. And like you were just saying, it helps us to meet people, and it is more calming than riding in the car.
So when you bought a bike, you were thinking exercise. Were you aware that this would change your life? Because that's what you keep saying. Am I correct? This has somehow become an integral part of your life here together, the two of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the original motivator was fun.
Okay. That simple.
Getting the bike. That simple. We could go places we couldn't walk to and we didn't want to drive to.
Right.
I think that was the initial motivator. It definitely, the additional exercise we've gotten is very helpful. The other thing in Atlanta is it's very hilly, so we couldn't have probably done a regular bike.
There you go.
Thought about it, but sometimes we ride with our sons and they have regular bikes.
Yeah, because they want to push themselves and everything else.
And they're in their 30s, so they can do that.
Right.
And they struggle up a lot of the hills. We don't have any problems.
They'll catch on. They'll wake up one of these days here. Because you can still pedal the bike. That's what most people don't realize. This isn't a motorcycle. This isn't a scooter. You decide how much you want to pedal.
Yeah, we try to keep at one of the lower power levels so that we do get some exercise and that we, you know, pedal a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something called Optavia.
Optavia.
I still didn't get it right. Optavia. This is something you discovered. I guess it's some kind of habits of health program, healthy sleep, healthy minds.
It's a health and wellness program.
All right.
It's been around for over 20 years.
Right.
And it's, as you just mentioned, it's about changing your habits, healthy motion, healthy sleep. It's a program that helps people to lose weight. Kevin and I, 4.5 years ago, we each lost a lot of weight with the program. Mm-hmm. I loved it, and I wanted to share it with others, so I became a coach, and Kevin was my first client.
There you go.
And it's worked out well because we've both maintained our weight. But one of the things about Optavia is, and everybody comes to me wanting to lose weight, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah. How do you keep it off? It's one thing to lose it, to keep it off. Yeah, right.
And that's why Optavia is different, because we're learning to change habits. And one of the habits that Optavia promotes is habits of healthy motion.
Ah.
Which is where our pedalgo bikes come in.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, we joined gyms. We never went. We had a regular bicycle. We didn't do this. With our pedagogues, it's so easy to commit to riding, and it's enjoyable. So that's helped us maintain the weight. And another habit with Optavia is healthy sleep. Well, when we've spent all day riding our bicycles, our pedagogues, we're pretty tired. So
there
we get
go.
A good night's sleep.
Look at that. There you go.
Basically, it's so much more than just changing your food. It's changing your habits. And pedagogue has helped a lot with that.
And one of the things, I don't know if this is true for you again, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth again here, but I've heard this several times from people. One of our guests described it as the great excuse eliminator. I'm too tired. It's too far. I got to ride back. Blah, blah, blah. With these excuses. I want to do this, but... And the pedagogue says, come on. Let's get rid of those excuses. Has that been that for you? Not only can you go farther, like you said, but do you get out more often?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I don't think we would have ridden a regular bike as much as we do the pedagogues.
Yeah. The other great thing about it is we've been married for over 40 years.
Say that again, because people are shaking their heads. And in this modern world, you two have been married for over 40 years.
I mean, we still love each other, but after a while, you look at each other, it's like, now what do we do? And now it's like every morning we wake up, it's like, let's hop on our pedagogues and where should we go? Yeah.
A little spice in your life never hurts. I can tell you that I've been married since 1987. Let's see. So I'm in that same kind of ballpark with you here. Last time I dated, Ronald Reagan was president. And there are some bumps and hurdles along the way, no question. And one of them is, yeah, you just fall into these habits. She watches her show, I do my thing, and we do the same thing kind of day after day. So anything that breaks up that routine after a while, that's got to add a little oomph to everything here.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, I retired 2 years ago, so... Mm. All of a sudden, I have a lot more time on my hands than I had before, right? So,
and what's that like? Because I haven't retired. And sometimes I wonder, someday that's coming. And my wife says, oh, I fear that day because you'll be crazy. I'll be your project now. You'll be telling me what to do and where to go and everything. I've lived an independent life. I've worked and done all these things. So, you know, don't take me on as your next client here and tell me how to fix things here.
Yeah, I think it's great. I've loved every minute of it. I don't miss work at all. We have plenty to do. I play golf. Margaret plays tennis. We have other interests as well, which also give us exercise.
And talk about people that you might have met along the way, because you talk about this as community. One of the challenges, I don't want to be a downer here, but I hear this over and over. I've seen it in my own life. I have fewer friends today in my 60s than I did in my 30s, partly because we had kids and activities and neighbors and sharing things, and that went away. Kids grew up. Partly because, I'm sorry to say, people moved away, or I hate to say even this, some of my friends died. And somehow my world has shrunk. Mm-hmm. I see this more and more. People I used to be much more socially active. I'm much more of a recluse these days, I think, in some sense, just because the longtime friends moved away, changed, whatever, retired. You know, I see this happening. Your world shrink. Have you seen that? And has this helped battle that, change that?
Honestly, I think what has helped us was moving into the city.
There you
and
go.
And we're actually surprised to hear that because we've never lived in the city. In New York, we lived, you know, farther away from the city. And we still laugh at that because we, in our 60s, like you, we seem to be meeting so many people our age.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's because, well, we're on our pedagogues. We can walk to coffee shops, like we're sitting out there at a coffee shop. And everybody is really friendly, which I don't know why I was surprised.
Yeah, we really didn't expect that in the city, tell you the truth. But everybody's house is being closer together and being more of a community.
Right.
It seems like people are a lot closer. Where out in the suburbs, you know, you have a big lot and a big house, and you just went into your neighbor. Right?
And I drive in and drop that electric garage door opener in my kingdom. I raise the gate to the castle here. You know,
That's right. Yes. Close it behind you and you go inside. Yeah,
exactly. And I invite people in once in a while, but not as often as I used to. So I wonder if things like moving to the city, changing things up, and getting out and getting active would not change that. Would not give you a whole new lease on life, look at life maybe here.
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah, so, absolutely.
100%. We never thought, and plus, you know, like we said earlier, we do live near our sons and their significant others, so we get to see them. And like Kevin said, we ride bicycles with them. But we also have established new friendships. And, you know, we understand what you're saying because a lot of our friends, you know, we're back in New York. A lot of them, sadly, have passed away.
Right.
But we're making new friends, and it's kind of mind-boggling.
Kind of mind-boggling here, exactly. Yeah. And what's it like, that multi-generational? My wife has a grown daughter from her first marriage. We together have a grown daughter in her 30s here, like you do, and see her all the time because we watch the grandkids and stuff. But I don't know that we do stuff together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they've got such a busy life. They got their friends and their careers, and you know, we're on the fringe of it. We share it in it, but we don't. We don't go do things as a big group, I'm sad to say. And I wish we would. I keep trying to think, what could we do together? Does biking help you do that? The great William Shatner was on the show, and he said, he's 90. He says, I get to ride with my grandkids. I'm not even sure if he doesn't have great grandkids. He said, I couldn't do anything together with them without this.
Right.
The electric bikes definitely help with that. As we said, living in the city, there are always festivals and things going on. And we meet the kids there. We live very close to each child. So that really, you know, that was a deliberate choice of ours. Right. And fortunately, we ended up near a pedago store as well.
Fortunately, yeah. Happenstance. The good things just happen out of the blue here, that if you're open to it, you walked in the door. You know, many people would still be walking by. I applaud you on the willingness to move into the city and change your life and to walk into an e-bike store when you didn't have the faintest idea probably what an e-bike was.
True.
All right.
And one of our neighbors, two houses down, they saw our bikes and they went in and they bought bikes too.
Well, that's the multiplier effect. You know, whereas
we have a neighbor that has the same pedago bikes.
Yeah. There you go. Which ones do you guys ride here?
The Interceptor?
Interceptors.
Interceptors. That sounds like a bike for a kid. The Interceptor.
It does, doesn't it?
The speed or something. All right. Well, I'm going to say something here that's at the end of the little tag they gave me. You wrote this. I didn't. You said that some people say owning a pedago is life-changing. According to what you said, that is not an understatement. Am I overstating your enthusiasm for this, or is that true?
That is definitely true.
It is not an overstatement. It truly has changed our lives. It's brought so much joy into our lives. It's keeping us healthy. It's keeping us young. And that's why, like, when I see people on the street, they ask me about it. I'm like a walking advertisement because I'm so passionate.
You know, sometimes people come and say, come on, you're paying these guys. You guys are sending us these stories, and I'm reacting like everybody else goes, really? What? How? Why? It's amazing.
FYI.
It really is. It's amazing. And it's kept, not obviously, you're happy and happy together. God bless you, you know, at this age, to keep finding that and finding something new challenges, new hurdles, new paths to take here together and meeting new people along the way here. I just think it's a wonderful story, and I thank you for coming in and sharing it today here. We're talking with Margaret and Kevin Shea. I want to put an O in there. Am I the only one who wants to say O'Shea just because I'm Irish?
Most people do. So that's
Margaret and Kevin Shea. All right. Thank you for sharing your story here today and for riding along with us on what I continue to find is an amazing journey here on the Pedago Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us here today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. I I don't know. Am I the only one that's amazed at these tales? Week after week, we hear the most amazing stories of people who literally have changed their life. Shifting gears here on the Pedago Podcast. If you want to learn more, I'm sure there's a Pedago store near you. Go find it, pedago.com.